We're reading from the Psalms today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I wish I could have taken you all to conference. Bobby and I were gone 5 days. We had to go down to our annual Missouri Conference of the United Methodist. And that's what every church in Missouri gets together. Hello? What's going on today? Is this working? It's on. Hello. Sometimes it's on. There's about 2,000 of us, and the preaching and the teaching is awesome, and the worship and the praise is awesome. I would videotape it, but if you're not there, you don't really get the experience. We're starting a message series called Worship Defined. So I will be repeating a lot of things because sometimes we don't get it the first time. We have to hear it over and over and over again. And today we're going to look at the root meaning of what worship is and also some of the words that express praise to God. First of all, I want to say this. You and I and all humans were created to worship God. It is a misbelief that I was taught when I first became a Christian. This is what I was told. God created us to have fellowship with us. Yes, he loves to have fellowship with us, and he will fellowship with you and I. But the real reason he created us was for us to worship him, because he knew that we would worship something even after he created us. So he created us to worship, and if we do not worship him, we're going to worship ourselves, or we're going to worship something. And if we don't worship God, we will never truly have a satisfied life or a life of meaning and purpose. For years, I thought that was true, that God created me for fellowship because he was lonely, and he needed us. God was fine, he was doing all right before we ever came on the scene. God is not a human. We tend to bring him down to our level. And we need to remember that he is high and exalted way above us. And to worship him, we've got to get out of ourselves and our misthinking or our wrong thinking about him. The root word in the New Testament for worship is a Greek word called proskuneo. Say proskuneo. We'll practice it again. This side didn't get it really well. Of course, you got the numbers today. Proskuneo. It means to kiss, like a dog would lick his master's hand. That's where that word comes from for worship. True praise. We're going to talk about both. Will kill worry. The scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Now we're going to distinguish between worship and praise. What goes on in most churches is there's some praise and there's very little worship. Some churches have no praise and no worship. We want to have both. So that's why I'm going to be defining them and talking about both of them a little bit today. And true praise will kill worry in our life, will kill anxiousness in our life. But then true worship goes even further, and true worship will calm us in the midst of any problem that we're going through, will calm the chaos in our life, and will take away all negativity. Now, when I was in high school, the cheerleaders had this one really lame cheer. I don't think I've heard it since I've been here. But they would go, "God's Spirit, let's hear it." And some of you are old like me, you know that. Then they would go, let's go, L-E-T-S-T-O, let's fight, let's win tonight. And everybody would stand up and they would chant that. And we would clap our hands to it. That was praising the home team. Guess what? When we praise God, we are praising God as the home team, because the earth is God's footstool. And we, when we begin to praise Him, He begins to do greater things and acts to help us as we praise Him. I watched the NBA playoffs on Monday night. Anybody watch the NBA playoffs? Nobody. Wow. We don't have really basketball fans. But Monday night, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden Gate Warriors were playing, and there was a whole lot of praise going on. Did you notice that? It was in California where they're playing Golden Gate on their home court, and people were screaming and shouting and clapping and waving towels and jumping up and down, and they had the home court advantage, and my Cavaliers lost. And guess what? When we begin to praise God in that manner, it says that He comes and He inhabits those praises. It means He comes and He resides among us. And we begin to see Him winning battles in our life. Every time the children of Israel went out to war, when they praised God, they won. When they stopped praising God, they weren't winning. You read it sometime. They would praise God with loud shouts, with all kinds of instruments. They would praise Him even with dance. They would praise Him in so many ways. And we've gotten so far away from praise in so many ways. Praise is our roots. David talked about praising God all through the book of Psalms that he wrote. And I remember the one time, you remember the story when David danced before the Lord when he praised God. How the ark came back into the city of God. That meant the presence of God. That ark was the presence of God. And David was so excited, he danced before the Lord. And his wife, Michal, said, "Hey, stop doing that. You're embarrassing me." And David couldn't stop, because the praise was in his heart. The praise was in his innermost being. The praise was in his spirit. And he couldn't keep his feet still. Now, there's a lot of people in church that can't keep their feet still, but they're usually under the age of 5. Right? Wow. We were reminded 3 times this past weekend by 3 different speakers, including our bishop. They said the Methodists were known as the Holy Rollers. We were the original Holy Rollers. Camp meeting, we would praise God with everything that we had. We would worship God with everything that we have. And now, we're not so much like that anymore, are we? We were the original Holy Rollers. Matter of fact, when John Wesley would preach, people would get slain in the spirit. All kinds of things would happen. And we've lost our touch on that. We need to get our praise back on. The scripture says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. We need to get our praise back on. Number one, if you're taking notes today, or you're looking at the notes around the screen and they're in your bulletin, praise is usually boisterous, joyful, and uninhibited. In other words, we haven't truly praised God until it's joyful, boisterous, and uninhibited. Now, we were at conference, and I'm going to pick on Cindy here for a little while. We get separated because there's so many people. And on Sunday morning, we were worshiping, and she thought she saw me over at worshiping. The guy looked just like me. Poor guy. I got a twin. And she said the guy was just had his hands raising, slapping his head. He was shouting, praising God. And she thought it was me, and then she realized, that's not Gene. Because I was down in the 5th row, right in front of the pulpit, praising God like that. And if you would go to the United Methodist Conference, you would see that you can't believe. As the preacher would preach, people would stand and they would applaud and they would praise God. And the more that the congregation would praise God, the greater the anointing of the Holy Spirit would come upon the speaker. And he would preach more and lives would be changed and transformed. And I tell you, the last 5 minutes that the preacher was preaching on Sunday morning at conference, people were on their feet applauding. No one told them to stand up. People just stood up automatically because the praise was in their heart for the great things that God was doing in their lives. And where's our praise? We need to put on the garment of praise, especially for the spirit of heaviness. And when we begin to do that uninhibited, then God will begin to move in our midst and God will begin to do greater things than he's already done. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus said, if my people won't praise me, then the stones will cry out. I've said this before, I don't want a rock beaten. I'm going to praise God. And the thing of it is we're so worried what other people will think. What if I raise my hands? What if I clap my hands? What will people think? It's not proper. According to Scripture, it is proper. And according to Scripture, we need to do it. That praise flows out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if there's no relationship, then we don't have the praise to give him. There was a little boy that knelt beside his bed one Sunday night after he had gone to church and he was saying his prayers. And he said in his prayer, God, church was really good today. It's too bad that you weren't there. And I'm sad to say I've been in a lot of church services, a lot of churches. We had a good time. There was a performance and we applauded one another and God never got the applause. God never got the center of attention. It is not about us, but it's all about him. And when we come here today and every Sunday, we need to put our praise on. Number two, praise is a joyful recounting of all God has done for us and appreciation for his mighty works on our behalf. Do you know when the United Methodist Church started to decline? I bet you can't guess the year. I'll tell you. 1860. That's when we started to go into decline. Up to that time, in the early 1800s, one out of every... let me tell you how many Methodists there were before 1860. Almost 40% were United Methodists. And a church that never wanted to become a denomination, just a movement. So if you were in a room with 10 people, four of them were probably going to be Methodists. And they were probably going to be the shouting type of Methodist. Okay? Now, we went in decline in 1860 because the United Methodists decided to take away what was known as the weekly class. Up until that time, you had to go to a weekly class and study, not Sunday school. Sunday school wasn't even invented yet. And if you went to your weekly class and you studied the Word of God, then you got a ticket and you were allowed to come to worship that Sunday. But if you didn't go to your weekly class, you couldn't go to worship. Talk about discipleship method, right? And when they voted to stop doing that, we've been in decline ever since then. Now, I say that because the reason why John Wesley started this weekly class is because the Anglican Church, or the Church of England, which was what we were, the preaching was dead and the singing was dead. So that's why they had the weekly classes. Because they needed to wake up the church. Weekly class was there so you could recount all that God had done or appreciate his mighty acts. But if you don't know what he has done, then how can you praise him? Our praise is lacking when our knowledge of him is lacking. I always know where a church is spiritually by their praise mode. And how willing they are to become uninhibited and focusing on God and not worrying about the people around them and are going to set their eyes and worship God uninhibited. Our praise is lacking when our knowledge of Him is lacking. That's where the weekly class changed the church. We cannot praise someone when we do not know the mighty acts that he's done. Number three, worship is the art of losing self in adoration of another. In other words, losing ourselves in adoration to God, our Creator. We adore him for who he is, not just for what he has done. See, worship is different than praise. Up to this point, praise was more outward. Now we're moving inward. We're going deeper. Worship is deeper than praise. Some people do worship their basketball team. Some people do worship the Cavaliers. But worship is that art of losing self in adoration of another. And we adore him for who he is, not just for what he has done. To truly worship God, we must let go of our self-worship. Did you hear what I just said? We need to let go of our self-worship. Our self gets in the way. Worship is humbling ourselves before God. It is a surrender of every part of our lives to our Creator God. Number four, worship is bowing, kneeling, and showing humility. It can contain remorsefulness, repentance, along with a longing thirst in your soul for God. In other words, when you truly begin to worship God, he's going to show you some things in the Spirit that need to be changed in your life, and you will have true remorsefulness for your sin. It may even bring you to tears. That's why a lot of times when people get into true worship, there's tears. Jesus said in John chapter 4, and we'll talk about this more and more, he said, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. It is a spiritual thing. It's going deeper than praise. It's more ingrained in him. This is what David said in Psalm 63 and verse 1. He said, oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. That's worship. That goes beyond praise. I want to read that scripture again. Listen to what he said. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul, does your soul thirst for God? He says, my soul thirsts for you. And my whole body, does your body long for him? He says, my body longs for you. That's why worship will do something to you physically. Worship will cause you to want to bow at the altar, or make you bow your head at least, or do something. Worship does something to do inwardly. It will come and show outwardly. Now we're going to look at some Hebrew words for praise. We touched a little bit on what praise is, a little bit with what worship is. Now let's take a little look at what praise is. The first word we're going to look at is halal. Halal means to shine, to boast, to be clamorous, to make a show, to be clamorously foolish, to rave, and to celebrate loudly. That's what praise means. Did we praise God today here?
No.
Not really. Did we praise God? Yeah, we did. We praised God. We praised God, but we didn't see the outward expression of the praise. Let's go on. This word halal is our root word for the word hallelujah. I heard a lot of people yelling hallelujah, praising God at conference, both progressives and conservatives, both liberal and conservatives. They know Jesus. No matter how far they were apart theologically, praise started to happen. Hallelujah started to roll. Hallelujah means praise God or praise Jehovah. Now the scripture that we read earlier, this is how I'm going to read it and translate it into what it really should say in the original language. We read Psalm 113 verses 1 through 3, and this is how it should read. Praise or halal the Lord. In other words, rave loudly, clamorously, foolishly, celebrate uninhibitedly, and make a show of the Lord. Then it says, halal, O servants of the Lord. In other words, do it again. Make a show. Be uninhibited. Celebrate. Be clamorously foolish, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name, or halal the name of the Lord. Be loud and rave about the Lord. Psalm 151 says, praise or halal the Lord. Rave loudly, clamorously, foolish, celebrate. Now I heard us clap hands today. But I'm going to make a distinction. The clapping of hands we did today was more because of the performance. You clapped after I did the children's message. You said, that was good, Gene. That's not praise. That was praising me. Right? We need to turn our applause to praising Him about everything. And if the story was good and it touched your life, we need to be praising God. Hopefully you were clapping because it was touching those kids' lives and it touched you and God was doing something, and that's real praise. But otherwise, it was a performance and you were applauding me. When someone sings a special here on the platform and they're done, do we applaud them and go, that was a good job? We're applauding a performance. Or do we clap because it touched us and it reminded us of the mighty acts of God and all that He is and all that He does? And we start to applaud Him and clap and praise Him because He has changed our lives, not because of the performance or how the person sang. And it is good to applaud people and encourage them. But God is the one who inhabits our praises. He's the one who wants to be encouraged into touching and changing more and more things in your life. And He does it through praise. We haven't even got to the worship part. I know what some of you are thinking right now. Well, we've never done that here before. So, don't we want to be biblical? Don't we want to please God? Don't we want to see His church grow? Don't we want to see people's lives change? Don't we want people to know that God is alive and that we have lively praise and worship in this place and we have lively preaching? And we don't have to have a weekly class to get a ticket to come to church because church is so dead. 149 Psalm, verse 3 says, let them halal, praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises with the timbrel and harp. Now, I'm just too old to dance. But I would dance before the Lord if I could, but I got a bad knee, I'm too heavy, and I'm old. And I love it. Have you seen some churches where they have dance teams? Oh, so beautiful as they express their praise to God through their dance team. And I'm not saying let's go start a dance team. I don't think we have enough room up here. And actually, I've seen some of your moves and none of you are that good at dancers, so. It have to truly be anointed of the Holy Spirit for to truly be from God if we had dancing going on. But let's look at the next Hebrew word for praise. There's nine of them all together. We're only going to do two of them today. The next one is the word yada. That should be an easy one to remember, yada. Yada, 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 right? And it means to worship with extended hand. The giving of oneself in worship, to lift hands to the Lord. In other words, it carries the meaning of absolute surrender. As a young child does to a parent, pick me up. There is nothing that warms my heart more then when I walk into my grandchildren's house or they come into my house and they see me and their face lights up like they just seen, I don't know, $1 million. And they go, Grandpa! And they put their hands up like this and I pick them up and they give me a big hug. That's what praise is. Where we put our hands up and go, God, I want to give you a hug. I love you. I love you. And I don't really do a whole lot with my grandchildren. I wrestle with them, slap them around, give them a little bit of attention, you know, to have burping contests. I have mostly boys. But that's just enough for them to know Grandpa loves me. And to them, that would warm God's heart. We would just lift our hands to him, uninhibited, clamorously foolish. Well, I thought they only did that over at the, you know, the Holy Roller Church. We're the Holy Rollers! We were the original Holy Rollers. And it doesn't make any difference what denomination you are. The Bible's the Bible. The Word of God is the Word of God. Oh, I'd love to take you all to conference. Oh, I just want to get a bus, couple busloads, and take you down there. Show you what it's like. The preaching and the worship. Traditional or contemporary. Doesn't make any difference. They have both. This year is all traditional. You can have traditional music and it can be so anointed and so lively, or it can just really stink. You can have contemporary music that's so alive and anointed and it just really moves you. But there's nothing worse than bad contemporary music. I've pastored a few churches where I had to stand up and say, stop! Now! This is horrible! God, help us to learn how to praise you. The opposite meaning of yada is to bemoan, or the wringing of your hands. So instead of wringing your hands, oh God, what's going to happen next? Oh, Lord, if this bill doesn't get paid, or if this cancer doesn't go away, or if this and that, or, instead, pick me up, Lord. I love you, Lord. I know you can heal me. I know you can meet my every need. Your word says so and declares it. Here's some verses that have the word yada in it. 2 Chronicles 20, 21 says, give thanks, or yada, to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 63, 4, we read earlier, so I will bless thee as long as I live. I will yada. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Not, I'll think about it. And the best way to do this is to practice this at home, praising God. You get your praise on at home throughout the week, then you'll be ready to come for corporate praise and put that on. Psalm 107, verse 15 says, oh, that men would yada the Lord, or praise the Lord. In other words, oh, that men would lift up their hands to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I'm going to miss the day where my grandchildren don't yell, Grandpa, I want to run and jump into my arms and lift up their arms. I'm going to miss that day. Have we outgrown God? Have we outgrown our love for him? I hope not. Let's get that love of a little child again. Now, there's a couple things you may want to write down in your notes. And next week, we'll probably listen to some music and we'll compare a praise song from a black choir and a worship song from a black choir. How many of you ever heard black choir sing? They're pretty cool, aren't they? We're going to try that next Sunday. We won't sing along with them, but we'll see the difference between it. But you may want to write this down. Praise is about God. It's about God. Worship is to God. You got the difference? Praise is about God. Worship is to God. Now, the two hymns that we sing today, we haven't sung one yet. We're going to sing one later. Are praise. Look at the words when you sing them. They're praise. But most hymns are instructional. Most hymns don't even have a lot of praise in them. They were to teach us theology and doctrine. Here's another thing you may want to write down. Praise is opening up. Worship is entering in. In other words, praise is opening up to God. Worship is entering in to God. Write that down so you know the difference. So that when you listen to songs on the radio, if you listen to Christian radio, or you sing a song in church, you'll know whether we're praising or whether we're worshiping. Praise is opening up to God. Worship is entering in to God. I have a story I want to tell you, but we're running short on time. I'll give the example next week of what worship is like with a story. Here's some more you could write down. Praise is boldly declaring. Worship is humbly bowing in the presence of God. Praise is boldly declaring about God. But worship is humbly bowing in the presence of God. Praise applauds what God has done. Here's two more. Thank you, Jesus. Man, you're great. You're winning. You beat Satan. You beat death. You beat hell. You beat sickness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. And you know what Walker is saying is those kids will learn how to praise and worship God if they go to camp. So if they come back and we just sort of sit here on our hands, then our kids will not praise and worship God. They will not. They will feel inhibited. Am I right? Those who have been to camp, come on. Nod your head up and down. I've seen you want to raise your hands before in church. But you look around, I don't know, I better not do that. It's probably not in the Bible. No, it is in the Bible. All over the Bible. All through the Bible. But we're good Methodists, we don't do that. I'm sorry, I don't care what denomination you go to. Lifting of hands and shouting unto God is going higher and higher and higher. And those churches are growing. Well, churches are closing left and right around the country that are dead and trying to rely upon performance. So praise applauds what God has done. Worship is honoring God for who He is. So I'm going to give you a challenge today and see if you can remember. You can write it down, but I think you can remember this challenge. Your challenge and your mission, if you so choose to do so, this week, is to find a praise song on the radio or wherever and practice alone, just lifting your hands to the Lord or clapping your hands. And then try to find a worship song and then close your eyes and bow in His presence. But I want us to do something today for just a moment. I want you to close your eyes. Can you close your eyes? Well, wait, don't close your eyes because you won't see what I'm going to show you what to do. I didn't think this through. Just on your lap, put your hands straight up on your lap like this, or put them out like this in front of you. Now close your eyes and ask the Lord to just come and fill you. Ask for His presence to touch you. Now you may have felt a little bit, you can stop now, you may have felt a little bit intimidated because you're in church, but I guarantee you, if you go home and you do that in your prayer life, that you will feel the Holy Spirit. You will feel the presence of God. You will feel Him touching your life. Amen.